Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Scott, to the fall. It is now fall.
Oh, okay.
What is something you're excited about in the fall?
You know, that's a good question. And it's harder to get excited about the fall when you're old.
Why is that?
Well, you know, I mean, it used to be football season. And then when I was coaching, it used to be volleyball season. And then, you know, now it's just like clean out the garden season and rake up the leftovers from this squirrel season. And so it's a little different than it used to be. I mean, fall just meant a great time to play, and now it more or less means a great time to work. So there you go. But thank you for asking.
Sorry to bring that up.
Well, now I'm like, oh, well. I was in a great mood for this episode, too. But
at its most basic level, I just like that we get back to jacket season or hoodie season.
Oh yeah,
that's fun. I enjoy that.
Well, good.
It's fall, which means when this episode drops, we are 4 weeks out from the election. So I don't know who's listening, going yes, full excitement there. But that is definitely.
Well, I am excited for 4 weeks and 1 day.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm
excited
it's gonna
for
be over,
like,
and we can all take a collective exhale. And don't you think
that is a great hope? But actually, one of the things we want to talk about today is that a lot of things don't really end 1 day after the election.
What?
Yes, I know we all want a collective exhale, and we know the results, and things are over. Now we can take a big sigh of relief. But actually, things aren't that simple. So I want to go.
Always complicating things.
I'm
Eric.
Always complicating things. I want to take us down another
rabbit
nerdy
trail.
Avenue. Yes. And talk about election night, talk about what is going on when we are watching our TV screens, and kind of point out some of the complexity that is happening in many states, many counties throughout the nation. Because there's more going on than you would think.
This is like Eric's chance to do play-by-play, kind of our color commentary.
Mm-hmm.
This is his sort of sporting event,
football
totally. Season.
Totally. Some people like to watch football. I like to watch election nights.
You've come to the right place here, everyone. That's true. Okay.
Well, and frankly, it can be fun to watch. But I think what's interesting about election nights is that news organization, and doesn't matter which is your preferred one, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Newsmax, whatever, they all try to cover it in a way that is similar to a sporting event type thing. If you're watching football, you got the score on the side, and you're watching the little ticker tape thing.
I suppose.
And then you're watching CNN, and you got a map, and half of it's red, and half of it's blue, and the numbers are going up, and...
You got the person on the sidelines. Don't forget the interviewer on the sidelines.
Interview on the sidelines.
Get the man on the street.
Reporters at the various states, not all the states probably, just the swing states that are most important for the outcome of the game, as it were. And then you'll see constant news alerts, which is that can be stressful.
This just in.
This just in. We are calling Arizona or whatever it is. That's worth noting. They are setting this up to be viewed like a sporting event, something that's interesting.
Well, they're trying to make it interesting. They're trying to make it exciting when, by nature, it isn't. It just isn't.
Right.
I mean, it just moves way too slow.
Right.
And I don't watch it like a football game. I'm sorry.
And that's fine. And I think
I'm going to try and have a good attitude on this podcast, just so you know. I'm going to represent all the people who might otherwise have a bad attitude about elections That's
yeah, my goal is not to convince people to watch election night coverage like I watch election night coverage.
Well, nobody can. Yeah, no. You take it to a whole other level.
You're one in a million. But I think your point is accurate. It is not exciting underneath.
Yeah.
The outcomes can be exciting. If you are rooting for one person to win or one side to win or a particular control of Congress to move a particular way, the outcomes, the results of the elections are exciting and could be thrilling. But really the method and the mode of what is going on underneath the coverage is slow and methodical and probably kind of arduous.
Well, I just remember when you were running and we were at a, like, watch the results pour in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a, it wasn't a humongous election. It was just this one race we were really interested in. And to say that they poured in wouldn't have been exactly right.
No.
It just is like they changed and then like for 4 hours or something, they didn't change. This guy, come on, people. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good, and we'll probably touch on that a couple times, but that of the things I glean from running for office, that is one of the ones I'm more grateful for, is election night and knowing the process and having to have engaged that process well in advance. I made a spreadsheet so I could like track anticipated votes. And
if we know,
of course I did. And that's not just because I'm Eric. Like that's something that you need if you're going to try to figure out how to anticipate these things. I made basically a spreadsheet that had a model of this is what things normally look like in this district. And if so many votes came in, you would expect this proportion to go to this candidate or this proportion to that candidate. So, and my goal in doing that was if I can figure out, okay, there are enough votes remaining that if they go my way or don't go my way or go a certain proportion my way, then I could anticipate there's a potential for a win, there's a potential for a loss. And the goal would have been to either concede or not in anticipation of a number of votes that are coming. Unfortunately, because of that night, I knew that Clackamas County, that's where my election was held, a little bit in Washington County, but mostly Clackamas County. They didn't have enough people. There wasn't a lot of people to do all that counting. So the speed at which the results came in was a lot slower. And they essentially told us part of the way through the night, like, hey, we're not going to be able to give you a significant proportion of this block of votes so you actually know what's going on. So then I had to give a halfway speech, you know, like I was hoping to be a little bit more definitive. And then the next early morning, it was obvious. Okay, now we've got to, I don't remember what it was, 70% or 80% or 90% of the votes. Now I can call my opponent, congratulate her, let everyone know. But I was glad about that because a lot of people who have run in positions like mine in the previous elections had used that slower process, understanding of the complexity of things to cast doubt on elections instead of, no, here's what's going on. And I don't remember if you remember this, but I actually gave a little speech to everyone at the election night party to explain, here's what's going on. Here's what they're doing at the election office right now. They're working into the night, counting these for us. And that's something I was glad, like I get to teach you all. That was kind of cool. And then when it's obvious, I lost, concede the race and move on. That's what we're supposed to do. And that is just one little example in a portion of another county. So mine was a small race. We are going to be looking at, if you're watching the election coverage or keeping up a little bit, there's going to be thousands of races going on. And they're for control of Congress. The one that's going to get the most emphasis is going to be the presidential election. And the news coverage is going to try to take that slow process. They have their own Excel sheets that they worked on well in advance that doesn't just take the last couple of years, takes decades of modeling and says, okay, if we can get a little bit of polling data and interview people as they go out, hey, who did you vote for? And they can plug it into the model. They can go, you know what? It looks like because we have enough data, we can, and they call it calling a state. We're going to call this state. Yeah. Yep. And it's all projection.
So do you think that this election is going to be different with the preponderance or the ready-made artificial intelligence that we have, or is that not going to really change how they report things?
Oh, I
think they probably modeled it adequately already. I don't think there'll be new.
Yeah, and there's some savvy people.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be new modeling.
No, and that model is constantly tweaked because they have precinct, so there's counties, there's precincts within counties. They have precinct level data that they are using historically. So then we know 80% of precinct number 7, it looks like it's trending a little bit differently than it did 2 years ago or 4 years ago. And they have huge, it's big spreadsheets, people.
It's not like a touchdown reception, but it's the, in Eric's mind, it kind of is.
And the only reason I'm pointing this out is to make clear that when you're watching your favorite news outlet, the election has not been certified or confirmed in that state. It is a news organization saying, we are pretty sure and have enough data, we know enough about math that we can say, hey, this state is going this direction. And they want, because they want to make it exciting, because they want to be the first to report the news.
Yes, they do.
But really what's going on in the background, there's so much going on. And we're going to put a bunch of stuff in the show notes. But even just our, if you were just to go to the Oregon Secretary of State website, and I'm assuming a lot of our listeners are from Oregon, there are many, many dates, all the way up to, I think, about 27 days after the election of certifications that need to happen and counts that need to be done and hand counts that need to be initiated by a certain date. There's a time to what they call cure ballots, and that's something I've done, especially in Oregon, where we get mail-in ballots, right? And you sign it, and what happens a lot of times, especially for college students, when they first get their license, they sign their name, and then by the time they get to college and they can finally vote, their signature has changed. They write differently. So they vote for the first time and they send their ballot in and they're all excited, and then it gets to the election office and they look at the learner's permit signature that they got when they were 16 or 15, and then they look at this ballot and go, these signatures don't match. And they send them a letter, and the campaigns can get a list of these people who have basically ballots that are not gonna get counted because the signatures don't match. It looks like a fraud. So we can go and we can call, knock on the door and say, hey, we need you to fill this thing out because your signature changed and it looks incorrect. So there's a deadline to get all those done. There's a bunch of things happening the weeks after the election. And then eventually, what was the deadline? I think December 17th is the deadline for all the states and all the counties to put all the votes together and then say, hey, here are the electors we're putting forward for the president of the United States. And that's like 6 weeks, 6 weeks later. So there's a whole bunch of things going on. And
so you've said that a number of times, like there's mm-hmm. a whole bunch of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
At the risk of sounding like a bumpkin, because mm-hmm. I kind of grew up a bumpkin, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
An election, just because it's called on TV, isn't, that's not the final word. Is that what you're telling
yes.
us?
That is a huge takeaway for this thing, yes, for this episode. What actually matters for certifying elections is the stuff that happens at the state level and then eventually the national level for something like the president. And the reason I want to make all of this clear is that there's two options. If there's a long time where you have to work through all of this, all this counting, all of this
recounting,
certification, confirmation, all that stuff. If there's a lot of time there and there's some waiting and some anticipation, you could take two different roads. You could say, hey, you guys, here's what's happening. I'm going to explain it to you.
It's what's supposed to happen.
It's what's supposed to happen. Yeah. We're really grateful this is happening because this is federalism at work and a bunch of different elections are happening in a bunch of different counties and we're all doing our part to participate in this democracy in this republic. And it's going to be a while, so we're going to wait and make sure everything looks good. And you could imbue confidence into the situation. Or you could say, there is some stuff going on that if I cast doubt into the situation could make people have reason to fear or make people have reason to be concerned. Or I could straight up lie about things that are happening. And frankly, we saw that happen in the presidential election in 2020 when—
Oh, I was about to say that would never happen.
That's never happened. President Trump at the time used that time, the way votes come in, the way mail-in ballots come in differently and get counted at different times than day of ballots in various states. And he used that to say, hey, I think something nefarious is happening. I think someone is trying to inject a level of fraud into this that will actually change the election, which frankly, those things are not true. And he was using the ambiguity, not ambiguity, he was using the complexity of the situation.
Yeah, complexity is the right word.
And the way we watched the news coverage of it, because it feels like a sports game, and hey, we were winning and now we're not winning. Well, it's not a sports game. It's not as though we were in the third quarter. Those are all part of Excel sheets and models. So I think there's a big possibility that happens again.
And for what it's worth, it was December 9th after the election in 2020 before it was certified. So mm-hmm. I mean, it took more than a month
mm-hmm.
to really yeah. have all of the recounts and all of the things taken care of. But mm-hmm. but it was eventually certified by every state, and mm-hmm. but it didn't happen over. It didn't happen right away, and there was a lot of doubt cast mm-hmm. in the situation, like you said.
Yeah, and the communication around the timing is what I think brought the consternation about it for people. If you recall back, I was just a kid, but I remember the election of 2000, not because I voted, not because of any of that, but because we were driving to Thanksgiving to my grandparents' house, and they were still talking about the election, which would have been 3 or 4 weeks later, Al Gore versus George Bush.
The hanging chat
in Florida, yes. Because the election counting and certification and all those things was not over, and that was 3 weeks later, or four, mm-hmm. what would that have been, 4 weeks later, Thanksgiving. And I was... I don't know, 14 going, I thought election day was 4 weeks ago. What are we talking about? But there's a lot going on. Again, I've said that way too many times, but those are all good things, and there's processes in place that are valuable and allow for a clarity and a certainty to elections that...
Well, that's unparalleled in the rest of the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think...
Especially with the number of states and counties. And
I think that's something that we need to appreciate is just mm-hmm. how... Number one, how complex it is, how many people are involved, how much...
Mm-hmm.
Really, how many people volunteer in this whole situation, too. I mean, it's just breathtaking, the fact that people care enough about this to do that. And so, I mean, I think that the process is really unparalleled, mm-hmm. and I think that it's worth, I think it's just worth being thankful about.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, just as far as the process goes, we have found the Secretary of State in Oregon, but also there's some election, what is it? I lost it. But anyway... Election Assistance Commission that has just, I mean, pages and pages and pages of what they're doing to make sure that there are fair and secure elections. And I guess it's probably good to take a shot across the bow a month early to mm-hmm. say, you know what, you should expect it to be a fair election. And that's not everybody can say that around the world. Let's say it that way.
Oh yeah, that's a great reminder. And yeah, and we'll put the Oregon State stuff in then a list of other things. And if anything, if you are given some reason to be concerned or doubt or something, you'll at least have a list to start with. And wait, what are the dates? What should be expected about this? And frankly, in Oregon, it's not really that big of a question. There are a lot of states that it's really not that big of a question because it's not that close. There's not really a big question about who's going to win the presidential election in Montana, and there's not really a big question about who's going to win the presidential election in Oregon. And there's, maybe six states where it is going to be a question. You're going to hear a lot about those states. And their rules are a little bit different than Oregon or Montana, because everyone has their own state legislature making these rules. But the list we'll put on the show notes have those as well. But in those six, are probably you'll probably hear a lot about Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, and maybe Arizona, Georgia, those two. So you'll hear a lot about those states because they're really close. It's pretty evenly divided. So
it could go either way.
It could go either way in those states for the presidential election. And that's what's going to be, because that's the big, and we've talked about that in past episodes, but that's the big race that gets a lot of emphasis because it's easy to understand from a this person versus this person level. So I just want to point that out. We'll put a bunch of different lists in the show notes so that 4 weeks from now, when you go, oh, there, people are saying something about this, maybe I can go back to one of those articles or one of those lists and go, oh yeah, that thing shouldn't be certified until the 17th, or that their due date for this is another time. Because really, I want us to be prudent in the way we think about things. I recently was reading Proverbs, and one of them stuck out. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. And even if we're just thinking about election, the number of steps involved in this is, there's a lot of steps. And before I start making assumptions or accusations, or even give myself reason to fear or worry about something, I should not just believe everything, but give thought to, okay, what actually is the next step? What should I be considering? What should I expect to be happening right now? Because where there's complexity or uncertainty, there's the potential for people to inject fear or, I don't know, there's another word there that
take
I can't pull out.
Take advantage.
Really? Yeah, take advantage of the complexity. And frankly, listeners, I don't want you to be taken advantage of. So that's why I wanted to talk about this today.
Okay. Well, thank you. And as you may know, we're against being motivated by fear mm-hmm. here at City on the Hill. And so I trust that this will be helpful to you in avoiding some of the fear that would otherwise enter the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want to... If you want to watch elections like I watch elections, I have a 50 saved tab on my computer. I could share with you if you wanted to, so you could send us an email. Scott's giving me this horrible, horrible look.
Eyes glazed over.
It's mainly a joke, but I hope you guys will watch and have just a little bit more clarity to what's going on. And really, I think thankfulness and gratitude is a good response to being able to live in a spot that has an understanding, and even all this stuff's written down in advance. That is something to note.
That should be helpful.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope this is helpful for you all, and I hope there's less fear and less consternation as you watch or just watch it pass by, watch the election pass by this time than was 4 years ago or 2 years ago.
And with any luck, you can find a real football game to watch.
Yeah, go watch football. That's great. That's probably a fun way to do it. So
sorry about that.
All good.
Baseball, well, actually, maybe baseball.
Not in November. Isn't that over?
I think
World Series in October.
It is, but they're just getting to it. We'll have to see. I have to look at the dates.
You heard it here first, folks. We have no idea what's going on.
That'd
in baseball.
Be outstanding.
Oh man. Yeah. All right. Well, friends, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review would go a long way to getting this to other people. Share with a friend. If you have questions, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com, and we look forward to the next conversation. Sometimes.